Morning, morning, morning.
It's the boss. I cloud shot
like a boss. In the gloss. Check out my lip
gloss. I only rock clear. On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson. I got that.
Welcome in, everybody. I am David Gow, the boss. Sitting next to me is Carla Dawson. How are you?
You know what? It's been a weird weekend.
A weird weekend, an upset Sunday in the NFL.
Yeah. Wow.
And we got Z-Pack behind the glass. He's sitting on pins and needles because his Bears are playing tonight. He is all things Chicago. What do you think about tonight's game?
Not feeling very confident.
Oh, come on.
Is it that Ben is 24-2 against rookie quarterbacks? Or?
Well, there's that.
There's that.
And there's the fact that Justin Fields, in my opinion, is just not ready at this point. Maybe should not be starting, and the Steelers have a pretty ferocious defense. So I'm not feeling too great about the game.
Oh, I don't love this. Our first segment, I'm not feeling great after the weekend. Kevin's not feeling great about tonight. Your boys, as in the boys from Dallas, didn't show up. Eek.
Cowboys stunk it up. Raiders struggled.
Man.
And, yeah, the Bears up tonight against the Steelers. A fun Monday night matchup. And later this hour, we will hear from, a whole host of guests. We're going to hear from Ryan Leaf and talk a little college football, a little pro football. You remember Ryan Leaf is a college football analyst for ESPN. We'll have Doug Russell join us from Milwaukee.
That's going to be great. We got to talk about this Aaron Rodgers mess.
Maybe Doug Russell can explain what Aaron Rodgers is thinking. Is he the one guy in America who might be able to do so?
He and Charlize, or whatever her name is. Shailene Woodley, that one.
Okay.
His woman.
Well, a tough week for the Packers, because I really put that loss
on
the shoulders of Aaron Rodgers.
That's selfish.
His actions put Jordan Love on the field, which led to the loss. Chiefs were lucky to get out of that. I mean, I don't think they would have won if Aaron Rodgers had been in that game.
No, 13-7. That is not an exciting game. And I've got to say, while the Chiefs did get back in the win column, I'm not excited about Mahomes' performance. He did not look good. Again, 166 yards. Yikes.
It was not a convincing win,
pretty.
But a win nonetheless for the Chiefs.
Yep, and you got to take it when you can.
You bet. Now, when we come back, we're going to look at Upset Sunday. Some big upsets yesterday.
It Broncos, just makes us upset.
Well, made some people upset. You being one of them, because
yes.
The Giants beating the Raiders is an upset.
Ooh.
Jags over the Bills, Broncos over the Cowboys. We will unpack all those big upsets when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the boss.
And the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. Okay, we went to break talking about Upset Sundays. And as you noted, it made you a little bit upset.
A lot upset. Yeah.
Because your Raiders fell. My Cowboys fell. But other big upsets. I mean, who would have ever thought the Jaguars would beat the Bills?
Okay, I think that's the biggest upset of the entire NFL season thus far.
Well, it really is, because the Jaguars are really at the very, very bottom, and the Bills are among the elite in the NFL, or so we thought, coming into last Sunday. And salute the Jaguars. I mean, they could just be mailing it in right now, but they came to play yesterday, and they were tough defensively. Josh Allen, the other Josh Allen.
Oh, my gosh, they're making the biggest deal out of that.
They really are. It just doesn't stop, does it?
No.
But he had a good game, and so that sort of added fuel to the name battle, right? Who's the real Josh Allen? And yesterday, it was the Jaguars defensive end who was a standout and really led a defensive front that was impressive.
I mean, to me, I look at Buffalo, and I think, you know what? You are relying way too much on Josh Allen. You're putting everything on him, and what that does to him is it makes him fall into his old bad habits, which is what we saw yesterday. I mean, Buffalo had the game finished up with 12 penalties for 118 yards. That's ridiculous. Come on. So the Jaguars had 6 first downs that came because of these penalties. And, you know, that's just sloppy football. 4 personal fouls in the first half alone. I mean, that's undisciplined, sloppy football. That's taking the Jags for granted. I mean, credit Urban Meyer, who'd have thunk it that he can get these guys to play for him. I don't see a lot of respect for him, but hey, he did it. Two wins already.
Urban Meyer may overcome his transgressions out there. He may just be on a way.
I mean, who knew?
Who would have thought
it? This is just the weirdest season. It's a crazy season.
Well, and the other one yesterday, Cowboys falling to the Broncos.
Okay, tell me about that. These are your guys. What the heck? They're on a six-game win streak until yesterday.
They had won six in a row after their opening game loss to the Buccaneers.
Which was a tight game.
And in my mind, I think that all those guys, they just read all the press coverage. I mean, everybody, the headlines always were, are the Cowboys really a Super Bowl team? Will the Cowboys lose another game? All those headlines just fed them. A lot of what is it? Nick Saban's "Don't eat the cheese." Is that, I mean, that's what they ate, and it was a stinker of a game. Look, Dak Prescott was miserable yesterday. He had a horrible game. You might say, well, he was rusty because he had missed a game. He both had a bye week, and then he had the game he sat out last week when Cooper Rush filled in for him due to his calf injury. But Dak had receivers open, two deep shots to CeeDee Lamb that were wide open. He just missed them.
Oh, that one to CeeDee Lamb, it wasn't even in the same zip code where CeeDee Lamb was running, which is very un-Dak-like.
So after three quarters, Dak was 6 of 19 for 79 yards.
Ooh.
And then, of course, there was garbage time in the fourth quarter, and he padded his stats. But 79 yards of passing through three quarters, that's just not acceptable in that offense. So Dak struggled mightily.
Okay, when they're at 30-0... Do you like McCarthy's decision to keep Dak in the game when it's 30-0?
I really didn't.
Given his injury
history. No, Dak's given his injury history, given what it means. Look, if you could have said the same thing about Elliott, who had left the game earlier with a bruised knee. He came back and he was running the ball in the fourth quarter. If Elliott had gone down, if Prescott had gone down, if one of those guys had gone down in the fourth quarter, we would all be screaming from the mountaintops. The only reason to consider leaving Dak in there is to give him some repetitions, to get him into a rhythm. Dak was out of rhythm the whole game.
Right. After 2 weeks off, which you noted.
He just, his drops, his timing, everything was. So maybe the thought is you need the offense to go down and remember how to execute, remember how to get into that end zone. They got the two touchdowns in garbage time. I don't really know how much that bleeds into next week or what you can take from that, but that would be the only basis to keep him in. But that whole game, the team just looked out of sync. You had Amari Cooper, who had never dropped a pass all season.
All season.
Dropped one yesterday that was right in the breadbasket. Tony Pollard dropped one that cost him a first down. These drops were on third down plays. So you fail to convert. It's effectively a turnover. It was just a disaster in the making. And they allowed the Broncos to rush all over them.
Oh, gosh. They could not stop the run for anything. I think this is kind of a little bit of the Hunger Games. I.e., Denver was hungry, and they saw an opportunity, and Dallas was like rolling in, feeling themselves, feeling good, because they've been looking good.
Everyone's been telling them they're all so good.
Yeah,
they gave up 190 total rushing yards, and a lot of that is effort. I mean, it's the same guys they've had all season, and people want to say, oh, my gosh, this is the problem they had last year. They couldn't stop the run last year. The problem's back. Well, it's actually a whole different set of defenders. The defensive tackles are totally different players.
Faces are new, right?
Faces are new. Defensive coordinator is new. I mean, Leighton Vander Esch is still there at linebacker, but it was not Vander Esch's fault per se. Look, they just got blown out. They thought they could just show up and rest on their laurels, rest on the press clippings, and they stunk it up. Now, hopefully they can rebound in short order. I think they can. They play the Falcons next week.
The Falcons are on the rise. That's something I hope they take that game seriously for their sake.
Well, they sure better. I mean, in the NFL, you can't rest on your laurels.
No.
You don't get to take a game half-heartedly, or you can maybe get away with sometimes a sloppy game or overcome a slow start.
And it's going to happen. It's going to happen to every team, every season, especially in a 17-game season. I mean, yes, it's going to happen. But you can't make it be a habit. You know, like for me, when I saw the blocked punt, for example, when Dallas blocked the punt, I was like, oh, this is outstanding. And then you see the defender.
It appeared to be the start of the turnaround.
Yep. And then the defender touched it. And, you know, you could go, I thought, well, you know what? Hey, that's something that can happen. So I didn't credit that as they don't know what the heck they're doing.
Right.
This is the stat that really made me go, wait, what? They failed to score on their first 8 possessions. 4 punts. 3 turnovers on downs, and an interception.
Yeah, disaster.
Like that is a disaster. That, to me, I'm worried for them. I don't know.
Well, it's hard to overreact. I think we overreacted to six straight wins. Now they've had one loss. Which side do you overreact to? But we'll know more next week. Now, the other upset, of course, Giants beating the Raiders. Raiders have had a horrific stretch here of bad news off the field, starting with John Gruden. But then, of course, the Ruggs situation, the wide receiver who got in the tragic accident. This is a really tough stretch. And the Raiders emotionally must be pretty beat up.
I think they're completely beat up because this whole, this situation is so massive. I mean, forget that Henry Ruggs III was their top receiver, their first-round draft pick. He's 22 years old. He's facing 46 years in prison.
Yeah.
And there is a 23-year-old woman that is not here anymore.
Yep.
A young woman whose life is gone. He is devastated. I mean, the whole thing is terrible. And these guys are walking into a locker room. You know, their routine of Ruggs being the number one and how they do their drills and all this and seeing his locker, that is in their face. And they've got a guy who is hurting. They've got a family there who is hurting. I mean, in this woman's family, it's just tragic every way you look at
it. Well, and I heard Derek Carr's comments that he was going to work to compartmentalize this. But, of course, everywhere those players go, in front of the media, everybody wants to ask the one question, what about what, Ruggs? What about Ruggs? It's very hard to avoid such a big tragedy.
And they handled the Gruden situation beautifully because that was another thing. He was a whipping boy for all the NFL that, you know, doesn't want to deal with all the rest of the letters and all the rest of the things. But I think Derek Carr, I have to say, if anyone can lead this team through this kind of tragedy, it's going to be him. And I'll tell you, the Raiders are moving fast. They got rid of Gruden quickly. They released Ruggs quickly today. They released cornerback Damon Arnett, who was their 19th pick in the 2020 draft, same draft with Henry Ruggs.
Another first rounder.
But he has never panned out. And a video surfaced this weekend of him threatening to kill someone and showing guns to the camera. Like, what? This comes after the team has tried endless things to help him out, put up with his injuries, put up with his COVID. And now this video, at least this team is moving quickly away from all the tragedy that's surrounding them. It's really sad.
Giants with a rare win. Giants winning 23-17, and it's amazing the stat looked at. The Giants at 3 wins and 6 losses.
Oh,
they now hold their best mark. That's their best record through 9 games since way back to 2016. So for the last 5 years, they have really struggled. This is the team that's been down a long time. Dave Gettleman's got to be looking in the mirror.
Yep, he's got to be looking in the mirror. And, you know, I knew, unfortunately, when everything went down with Henry Ruggs this weekend to get back to Las Vegas, I just said that it's not going to happen. They cannot keep. They are resilient, but this one's going to really kill them. And look at their remaining schedule. Kansas City, Cincinnati, Dallas, Washington, Kansas City again, Cleveland, Denver, Indy, and the Chargers. 7 of those 9 have winning records. It's not getting any easier.
Well, for the moment, they are still in that AFC West race.
Yep, they are.
They are right in the thick
of it.
It's very, very tight now, all four of
those. And I'm going to be there at Allegiant Sunday night game against the Chiefs.
All right.
Maybe I can bring some good karma.
Look for the gloss, everyone, if you are at the Vegas game next week.
Face paint and all.
Face paint and all. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to former NFL quarterback Ryan Leaf, college football analyst for ESPN. I want to ask Ryan about his former team, the Chargers, and their quarterback. What would it take now for Justin Herbert to be a top 3 quarterback? Is he there already? That'll be Justin Herbert next when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Yes. Yes. Thank you.
It's the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on the Sports Map Radio Network is Ryan Leaf, former NFL quarterback, college football analyst. Ryan, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
What's up, guys? Don't forget former Gal Media analyst, too, you know.
I'm going to headline that next time, yes. When I do the reset, Gal Media analyst Ryan Leaf joining us. So great to have you.
So great to have you, Ryan. Welcome back in.
Oh, we got a lot of questions. We got a lot of questions for you.
There's a lot
to uncover. Buckle up. Here we come. So one is, I want to ask you about Justin Herbert. You played for the Chargers. Herbert's now there. How good does he look to you? What does he need to do to be considered, say, a top three quarterback? Or is he already there?
Well, he's climbing up that ladder for sure. Now, he's had a couple bad weeks. In that loss to the Ravens and that big loss to the Patriots, you know, he kind of looked like how most rookies are supposed to look a year ago when he was just a rookie, but he hasn't looked that way. He bounced back wonderfully yesterday on a big road trip. It's hard to go all the way across the country, three time zones, and play a game like that. And he had one of his best football games, really high completion percentage, was incredibly efficient, got them the win on the road. And now they're in first place in the AFC West. So, yeah, he's trending in that direction. I think, you know, you really look at the top three guys in the league right now, and it's still Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott conversation, Josh Allen. But Justin Herbert, with only about a year and a half under his belt, is slowly climbing that ladder.
Okay, Brian, I want to ask you, too, about a little bit of college football, because you did the run-and-shoot offense when you were with San Diego, and Washington State got rid of Rolovich. They're looking for a coach. You know this offense very, very well. A, would you consider being there? Or B, if not, who do you think should be there?
Well, I didn't run the run and shoot very well because I wasn't in the NFL very long. So, but I do understand it. But I also think there are consequences, and being a coach is a mantle that you carry that is precious, and it's sacred. Yeah. And when I was coaching in Texas, you know, I took advantage of the kids that I coached when I was really deep in my addiction, and I took pills from them and stole from them. And I just don't know if I should ever be trusted. Not that I haven't gotten to a place where I feel really comfortable and I'm doing different things. I think that's just a consequence that exists, and that's okay. Like, that's okay. That's why when coaches get booted out of pro football and college football, and they just think they're entitled to come back because of, there's consequences to that, period. And there always will be. Now, at Washington State, they are playing extremely well, and they have an interim head coach in place right now in Jake Dickert, who has been really, really good. The kids have responded. This week, after a bye, they're about to go to the University of Oregon, who's probably going to be maybe number two, maybe number three in the college football playoff rankings on Tuesday night. And they have a real chance. So this is a great opportunity for Jake Dickert. If, you know, if they aren't able to keep this winning trend going, I think they look outside the university, and that most likely means the run and shoot goes away, because that's what Nick Rolovich brought to the table, and it's pretty unique. There isn't many other coaches that run that type of offense. So I think the first call you make is to Joe Moorhead, offensive coordinator at Oregon. He's been a head coach before at Mississippi State. I still think you go ask Chris Peterson. I don't think he'll accept that one or get back into coaching, but I think you take a big swing for a guy that's got substantial credit and experience, and I think that's where you go if Jake Dickert isn't up to the task, and I actually think he is.
Ryan, I love that, and I really want to say that I wish that college football coaches had the same mindset that you do, because you don't run away from what you went through, and I think where you are now, it just speaks volumes, and I think it's incredible, and I love how you look at the game in that sacred way, and that, you know, being a leader of men. So let's take a look at Steve Sarkisian here at Texas. We're sitting here in Houston, and, you know, I'm confused by that hire. I always was. I'm a Trojan, and I saw what happened unfolded there at USC. It didn't end great at Washington. And now he's got an assistant coach, Jeff Banks, who could be considered for the Washington State job if he hadn't moved in with the pole assassin who has a pet monkey, and there's this, all this. So Help me. Help me understand.
Well, let me just be clear. Are you troubled by the pole assassin or the monkey?
It's troubled all
it's
the way.
It's the combination.
Around.
Okay.
I want Ryan to unpack this for us. Tell me why the Sarkisian hire in Austin, and do you like it? Do you think that he deserves that chance and he's the guy for the job? We've got four consecutive losses, and I mean Joshua Moore was just released, wide receiver, and he's getting the transfer portal now. We've got this monkey business going on. I mean, what gives here?
Well, you know, I was a bit surprised by the hire. Del Conte, who's the athletic director, we go way back. He was a graduate assistant at Washington State back when I was playing. So there's some relationships there that have been built over time. Steve Sarkisian's an incredibly good football coach. But some guys are just meant to be coordinators. They're just extremely good at being a coordinator and not necessarily meant to be a head coach. And so I thought this team was a 7-5 team going into the season. They already have the five losses. The next three games are very winnable for them because they're explosive offensively. They need to be better defensively. As for the Jeff Banks stuff, Jeff Banks and I are really close friends. Him and I played on that Rose Bowl team in 1997 together. We were roommates in San Diego when I started my career down there. He was going into the communications business at the time and was an intern down there in San Diego. Figured out I don't want to do this. I want to go coach. And he's been an unbelievable coach, right? He started at UTEP. He went to Texas A&M with Kevin Sumlin. He's an unbelievable recruiter.
Alabama,
so much so that Nick Saban at Alabama grabbed him and made him their recruiting coordinator and special teams coach there. And, of course, when Steve left for the job at Texas, he jumped at the opportunity to become assistant head coach. And I knew about some things with Jeff Banks in terms of – because we're buddies. I knew that he was dating this woman who also was a stripper. And, I mean, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother anybody when you do your job right when – becomes a national storyline,
right?
That removes your name from most likely the head coaching opportunities, which is unfortunate because he's an extremely great coach, father, all of it. The story is just, of course, made huge headlines and waves because it's just so damn
it's
interesting.
It's so crazy. No, it's so true. And tell me this, Ryan. Tomorrow night we're going to get the second rankings for CFP. Who do you see after this crazy weekend of college football and considering Cincinnati, considering UTSA, some great, you know, Michigan State loss? Who do you have? Who do you have in the top four?
Well, the committee flat out told us that Alabama is by far the best team behind Georgia, yet they almost went out and got beat by LSU, a four-loss team. So I don't know how the committee is going to view that. I thought Oregon dominated Washington. They kind of stumbled out the gate a little bit, but then just flat out dominated them in a monsoon up there in Seattle. So I would have Oklahoma at two simply because it is so difficult to be undefeated. I don't care who you are. Now, they got three exceptionally difficult games to finish the year, plus probably a Big 12 championship. They get to that point, and they're 13-0 as a Big 12 champion. They deserve to be in the college football playoff, flat out. But right now, I think they're the number two team in the country simply because of that undefeated record. So I go Georgia 1, Oklahoma 2, Oregon 3, Cincinnati 4, and Alabama 5. That's where I have it right now, Ohio State 6. Those are my top six. I don't know what the committee is necessarily going to do tomorrow. It doesn't really matter. I would like to see them move Alabama out of that number two spot because what they're doing, and unfortunately, it's setting up an opportunity for them to be a two-loss team that gets in, which – I don't know if they'll do that, but if they'll do it for anybody, it will be for Alabama.
Yep.
Because I've never seen a committee like look so longingly at a team like, oh, I love you so much, Alabama. I'll do anything for you, whatever you want.
You're right. I mean, you're accurate. That's
well, presumably their fate will get resolved with that game against Georgia, but we shall see. Ryan Leaf, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate the time. Great to have you here.
You bet. Good to talk to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
You too, Ryan. Bye-bye.
The Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And joining us now on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line is Doug Russell. He is a radio personality from 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee. Doug, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate being on your show again.
We're delighted to have you back. I did not think we were going to have this conversation, though. What has the last 72 hours been like? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, what happened here?
I'm glad you're laughing, Doug. This is a good sign.
Doug's the only man who can explain what's really taking place. He's there in Milwaukee.
We're counting on you.
What has gone on with Aaron Rodgers? And really, doesn't this loss fall on his shoulders? Because if they'd had Aaron Rodgers, I think they would have beaten the Chiefs.
They would have. They also need somebody to play special teams, somebody who can snap a football or kick a football or hold a football or return a punt or hang on to a punt. You know, there's a lot of things that kind of went wrong in that game against Kansas City. But, yeah, I mean, look, I don't put this loss on Jordan Love. I think he did okay. I don't think he played great, but he got better as the game went on. I thought his fourth quarter was a glimpse into what the Packers first saw when they traded up to get him a year ago in the draft. But I think the assertion that this loss falls on Aaron Rodgers' shoulders can be a fair one. And, look, I mean, I think we all have our opinions on vaccines, and we all have our opinions on whether or not they should be mandatory. The NFL, as Aaron Rodgers, look, there are a few things that he said on Pat McAfee's radio show that I agree with. I mean, the NFL has made it a pain in the rear end to not be vaccinated. It would then behoove, I think, most players to then go ahead and get vaccinated, as opposed to, you know, going to Dr. Joe Rogan and figuring out what is you know, best for him that way. But, I mean, to say that this loss falls on Aaron Rodgers, I think he's got to take a long, hard look at, you know, how we got to this place in the first place. And I think it all stems back to when we were asking him in August 26th, as a matter of fact, are you vaccinated? And he came back with right away saying, yes, I've been immunized. And then he goes on to talk about vaccinated players in the third person as if he was a vaccinated player. So I think I look at that as an absolute lie. At best, it was deceiving, but I think that there are a lot of Packers fans that are disappointed. But then again, you know how political things have gotten in the world. There are Packers fans that weren't necessarily Aaron Rodgers fans before all of this that have suddenly become Aaron Rodgers fans because he's sticking it to the man. So it's just a big old mess in Wisconsin right now as far as the quarterback is concerned.
Gosh, Doug, I'm really glad to hear you say that it was a flat-out lie because I really look at it and go, wow, he really was a liar in this situation. Like, he's done a lot of crazy things. I mean, Packers fans have been dealing with his drama all offseason, you know, all of it. We didn't even have to go uncover everything. But just the lying aspect and the fact that, you know, he even said about not wearing his mask in a press conference. He's like, what does it matter? I mean, the press is vaccinated and they have a mask. I mean, just why is Aaron held to a different standard? Clearly, he thinks he is held to one above anybody else.
Well, it's because he has been held to a different standard his entire career. And I think most star players in the NFL are held to a different standard than, you know, the other 52 guys in the room, especially quarterbacks in their 17th NFL season, that when they're done 5 years later, they've already got their bus waiting for them in Canton with an ugly yellow jacket that means the world to these guys. But he lied. I mean, I don't think that there's people have been parsing this. Well, no, the media should have done this, that, or the other thing. No. I will take on water for things that I think are the media's fault. We don't get everything right, but this was not our fault. We asked if he was vaccinated. Right, it was Ryan Wood from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel asked the question, and then Aaron went on this 2-minute diatribe about yes, he's immunized, and then again talking about players in the third person that were not vaccinated, were vaccinated, and he gave the impression that he was vaccinated. So I'm not, and again, social media being the cesspool that it is right now, you can't go back to everyone, but the clapback that I've gotten from the anti-vax crowd in the state of Wisconsin that are now Aaron Rodgers fans, that maybe weren't Aaron Rodgers fans before, has been just, it's been head-spinning, Carla. It's been nothing like I've ever seen before.
We're talking to Doug Russell. He's a radio show host in Milwaukee, home of the Packers. Okay, prior to last week and all the drama around Rodgers, the Packers were my favorite in the NFC. Can they overcome this distraction and meet their fate here and probably be, I mean, at least one of the top two or three teams in the NFC this year?
Yeah, I think the NFC is really good this year, isn't it? I mean, you've got the Cardinals look like they're for real. They've been banged up with some injuries. I mean, they didn't have Kyler Murray in the lineup. They didn't have DeAndre Hopkins, and yet they still went and beat what I still think is a talented, when they're healthy, even though they're a little bit dysfunctional themselves, 49ers team on the road. I think the Rams are very good. We haven't seen the best out of the Seahawks, but I think the NFC West, top to bottom, is probably the strongest division in football, even though they haven't necessarily shown that in the first half of the season. But yeah, I think the Packers are as good as anybody. They're going to run away with their division. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Can they overcome the Aaron Rodgers distraction? I mean, yes, I do believe that they can. Here's the question mark that I think everybody has and should have for this week. Aaron won't clear the 10-day protocol. Now, this is assuming everything goes as planned. This is assuming that he is getting over his COVID-19. He's assuming that the horse paste is working and he's going to be all ready to go and is better by Saturday. But that's when he can set foot in the facility again. It's not till Saturday. So Jordan Love this week is going to be getting all of the first team reps in practice and with the hope that the Packers don't use their QB1 in practice this week so Aaron can step in and be the hero against the Seahawks on Sunday. It's a very weird situation. And look, if any quarterback can do it without practice, it's probably Aaron Rodgers. I just don't think it's a great situation for this team to be in for this weekend.
No, I agree with you, Doug. And talking about Jordan Love, it does not feel like love is in the air in Green Bay. I mean, you look at, you know, I'm a woman. I'm looking at where they seated his mom and his girlfriend, and I'm like, wow. I could have gotten better tickets than that. This does not send me a great message. Do you feel like, I mean, obviously Matt LaFleur was very gracious and very genuine, saying, I'm owning this. You know, I could have done this better. And I agree with you, Doug. I think he got better as the game went along. And I know he, you know, he took the team for the team reps and, you know, and when they met for training camps when Rodgers wasn't showing up. So what do you see the future with Love and where do they go from here, assuming that this is Rodgers' last year in Green Bay?
Sure. Well, Aaron Rodgers did show up for training camp. He wasn't there for the offseason program, and that's when Jordan Love was the QB1 then. So it's really been for the first time since, March, May, maybe, Jordan Love was taking the first team snap. So as far as his mom and his girlfriend being at the top of Arrowhead Stadium, I think there needs to be a little more digging into that. That seems like a weird situation that the Packers couldn't have taken better care of them. But listen, the other part of it is, as far as not being love in the air, maybe not. I mean, Packers fans, I'll just say this to you and your nationwide audience, Packers fans have been spoiled with a capital S-P-O-I-L-E-D about having Hall of Fame quarterbacks over the last 30 years. Who goes from one top 10 all-time quarterback, arguably, in Brett Favre to another in Rodgers? It just doesn't happen. Think of that happen. It's just absurd. And there is a whole generation of Packers fans that don't understand what it was like to have Randy Wright as your quarterback or what it was like to have Scott Hunter or John Hadle, practically in a walker trying to, play quarterback for this football team. So I think that if Jordan Love plays like an average NFL quarterback, Packers fans are going to run him out of town, and I don't think that's fair because the bar has been set so incredibly high by the last two guys, again, that are both in Canton and are all-time favorites in Green Bay and all-time great quarterbacks in the NFL.
We're talking to Doug Russell of 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee. Okay, so the Packers will face Seattle this week. That's a team that will get Russell Wilson back. They might even have OBJ on their team. Where do you think OBJ lands? And if you were the Seahawks, would you entertain bringing in somebody who might draw so much attention?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't know because it's kind of buyer beware at this point with OBJ, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he brings a lot of talent, but man, is there a room that can keep all of that luggage that he brings with him? Some guys can do it. Some guys can't. Some guys can compartmentalize and do it for the greater good. You know, when Randy Moss first got to New England, there was this thought process that, oh, Randy Moss brings all of his baggage with him. Is his ego going to be able to fit in all of New England, even though it's like four states? And he was a good citizen for the most part when he was there. And, you know, other guys have been able to do that in the right circumstance, in the right situation. And maybe Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll are the guys that can do that for OBJ. I don't know. I mean, I still think that he's got a lot of talent, but he's got to check the ego at the door. And whether or not he is able to do that after a bad situation for him in Cleveland, that's hard. It's really hard to predict. But again, if there's a team that just needs a wide receiver to maybe make that push in a really competitive division like the NFC West, maybe you take the chance on it, because so far this season, things haven't exactly gone great for the Seahawks.
Yeah, Seahawks standing at 3-5 in a really tough NFC West, as you mentioned. Rams fell last night to the Titans. Do you see alarm bells in L.A.? I mean, that was a game at home against Derrick Henry void for the Titans.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of the Rams. I mean, part of me is, man, I've been watching Matthew Stafford play quarterback, being in the NFC North when he was with the Lions, for a long, long time. And I've seen him lose a lot of football games. But the narrative about Matthew Stafford is, well, he's this great quarterback. He's this great quarterback. All he needs is a chance. All he needs is a better surrounding cast. Well, now he's got that surrounding cast in Los Angeles. I don't know if he's ready for prime time or not. I think time is still going to tell on that. I still think the Rams are really good. You look at their defense. I mean, you want to talk about it. And I love, by the way, aggressive general managers. So Les Snead, you know, chef's kiss to you for bringing in Von Miller. I mean, Aaron Donald is a future Hall of Famer. Jalen Ramsey's a future Hall of Famer. This is a solid defense. This is as good of a defense historically as you're going to get. Is it good enough in 2021? I guess time will tell. Like I said before, I really do think that there are a lot of good teams in the NFC and in the NFC West.
Okay, Doug, I'm going to switch gears really quickly to the NBA. What is happening with those world champs? They are 4-6 to start the year. What gives there? What needs to happen? Turn the thing around. It's early.
It's early. They need to get guys out of the trainer's room. You've got four out of the starting five. I mean, Giannis is still there. So I guess that's probably why people, well, Giannis is scoring 25 points, 30 points a night. Why isn't this team winning more? Yeah, it's because the other four starters are hurt. And they've been hurt really all season long. So I'm not, my level of concern about the Bucks is pretty minuscule at this point. It's pretty early. The regular season is so long.
It is.
They're only, what, 10 games into this thing. They visited the White House today. Yeah, they visited the White House today. So they got some FaceTime with the president today, which was really cool for a lot of them, especially Giannis and Thanasis. You know, 10 years ago, they were, you know, hawking CDs on the streets of Athens just to try to pay for dinner that night. And now they're at the White House with their championship rings meeting the president. So that was pretty cool for them and the rest of the team. But, yeah, I mean, look, Drew Holiday's been out. Brooke Lopez has had a bad back. You know, Dante DiVincenzo in the starting lineup, he's, you know, still got the ankle injury that he suffered right before the playoffs began last year. So this is a team that's just hobbled. They're just banged up. They're shorthanded. If they get everybody back in, back to 100% or close to it sooner rather than later, I think they'll be just fine.
Awesome stuff. He's Doug Russell. You can hear him on 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee. Doug, really appreciate you joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. I always love being on your show.
It's The Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and it was great to have Doug Russell, radio show personality in Milwaukee, with us. It was interesting, he was not shy about saying, no, Aaron Rodgers lied about whether he was immunized or protected or vaccinated. And so, yeah, he lied. Then the question becomes, for the NFL, okay, if you have a player who lies, who breaks the rules and lies about them, and the rules are set to protect everybody, right?
Yes.
Teammates, media, coaches, etc. Breaks the rules, lies about them. Should he be suspended? Should there be any disciplinary action?
100% there should be. But you know why Green Bay is not going to do it? The NFL is going to punish Green Bay. There's going to be a fine. I mean, probably upwards of $500,000, $500,000, which is chump change for these franchises. That's not going to really do anything. But it's up to the team themselves to do the discipline. Are they really going to discipline their star player, especially given what we saw yesterday with Jordan Love, which I don't fault him. I mean, the guy's had no chance to really be on the field or do anything like that.
It's his first NFL start.
But a $35 million a year quarterback, they're not going to do anything about that. He is their future. They are sitting at 7-2. But you know what incenses me is that the NFL protocol is very clear about unvaccinated players. And there are unvaccinated players. And their names are Lamar Jackson, Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins. These are all quarterbacks in the NFL, very successful, high-performing quarterbacks in the NFL. And guess what? They wear masks in their pressers. They are not gathering with teammates away from the facility. You know, there's pictures about this with Rodgers. Why is Rodgers getting treatment? Why is he different than everybody else? And I think Green Bay needs to put on their big boy pants, and they need to suspend him. They need to do something, because this is not okay.
And it doesn't. Why not the NFL suspend him? Why is this on the Packers to do?
They're leaving it to the teams, autonomy. Just like, you know, different states are doing different things. It's
yes,
ridiculous.
But of course, when Randy Gregory fails a drug test for having taken marijuana, the NFL suspends Randy Gregory. It just seems odd in this case when Aaron Rodgers does not take the medication that he's supposed to, that it's left to the team to decide what to do.
And really, if Rodgers says he's immunized, it's really up to Green Bay to figure out exactly what he means. I mean, he did lie. He lied, and now this is a mess.
All right, when we come back, we're going to look at one more upset yesterday. It was the Sunday night football game. It was the Titans over the Rams. We'll look at that when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.